G'day sports fans, I am back with another episode of the Sports by Fright podcast, joined by J-Lo tonight as we discuss a couple of topics in the AFL fantasy front. Bit of a shorter episode than we usually do, but we ran through our teams after round one of the AFL fantasy season. Wouldn't be a sports be pod without a couple of useless stats, so I run through some of the important numbers from round one, talk about some of the early trade combinations, and J-Lo and I discuss what we're thinking of doing at the trade table ahead of round two starting tomorrow night between the Saints and the Pies. So let's dive into the episode. The boys are back on Wednesday night, sitting down halfway through the week. And another round of fantasy footy starts tomorrow night. So quick fucking turnaround.
Thanks for reminding me. I'm liable to miss.
Quick public service announcement. For J-Lo, but for the rest of the squad. How are you, J-Lo?
Mate, great to be sitting down. Great to have a fantasy footy start. And also great to have a lead against you, fantasy footy-wise.
Yeah, it's not position I'm used to being in, I'll be honest.
I don't think it's ever happened.
You don't reckon you've ever beaten me round one?
No, I literally don't think. I don't think it's ever happened.
We will go through our teams, I think. This won't be a massive pod, but I don't hate doing it like a little bit later in the week. We got a bit more info. The injury reports are out now. We've got obviously the teams for tomorrow night. So there's some content crew that rush to try and get the first pod out for the week. But I know the Sportsby fans are dying to talk fantasy footy.
And patient fan. Yeah. They're a patient fan. Absolutely. A notably patient fandom. I don't like calling them fans. Friends. I don't know.
Friends of the Sportsby pod.
Yeah, that's it. Friends of the pod.
All right, let's kick it off with your team because I don't want to spend too long talking about the large fries and Coke. Some things worked, some things didn't. So how did Quisplorkin go in round one?
Yeah, so for people who don't know, which is probably everyone, I had six deep in the back line. Dacos, Sheasel, Wang, Whitfield, Young and Yoey as the sixth.
That counts.
Yeah, close enough. You know, Yoey was average, so were all of West Coast, and I won't jump the shark. I know we'll probably touch on that later. But they were terrible. Wang didn't fire, but everyone else was good. And then, yeah, midfield was kind of everyone else from there out did what expected or like performed up to what I would have hoped.
So what score did you post for the round then?
1949.
Okay.
Good year.
Can't remember anything significant that happened in 1949, but I'll take your word for it.
Great Depression.
Can't remember anything significant that happened in 1890 either, but that's what my boys churned out. I would like to have said that I batted as deep in the back line, but did not, and as a result had Connor Butterick on my field.
Ouch.
Jai Newcomb in the midfield as well kind of sucked. George Wardlaw slowed down, so there were a lot of things that didn't work. But you and I were both saying this, I'm actually like not entirely sure what to do trades-wise. There's some players that I want to bring into my side, but I'm like, like Jai Newcomb, I back in to score better than fucking 60 next week. Like, I'm sure he'll be fine. Bonnerick, I don't have the same confidence in, but
no.
How are you looking at the rest of like your squad? You happy with most of the boys and how they went?
Pretty much. Let me just sort of loosely look through them. You know, like Wardlaw slowed up. And you sort of mentioned a little bit, we both have him, about him being a bit of a plodder and not necessarily like a interested fantasy player.
Yeah.
So I'm a little worried about him. Bonner paid off. English was English.
Yeah, so you had Timmy English and Grundy in the rucks.
Yeah, I sort of changed from Rowan pretty late in the... probably after that Grundy game against Melbourne.
You were one of the rare coaches over the whole summer that was like, pay up for the two big ones.
Yeah.
They're going to be really good. And I'm like, yeah, I agree, but I think the gap will be narrowed. It might not. Marshall looked great against the Cats as well.
Yeah, he's very good. The Cats don't have great ruckman. Let's just hope it's that. Small ground too maybe helped him. I don't know.
He was looking pretty good from some of the game that I caught. How about your forward line? How did you end up structuring up there? Because that was the point of a lot of... topics of conversation over the preseason. Most people will have like an Isaac Heaney or a Sam Flanders or like one of those good forwards.
Good choice.
I don't think between us we own any of those confident blokes. But yeah, how did your structure finalise for round one?
Fisher was my F1.
Yep.
And then I had to do a late minute shuffle with Sardis getting the sub.
Yeah, that was annoying.
Yeah, had to switch Lazaro, I think, maybe down out of my midfield or something. But yeah, Lazaro, Jordan, McKenzie was a bit disappointing. Hopefully,
had a nice role, but just couldn't fucking grab the footy.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully that turns a little bit. We'll just keep an eye on that. Sexton didn't fire. Harley was fine. So, you know, pretty, a lot of common cats in there, paid up elsewhere, and it paid off this week versus you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I say that sitting at 44,628.
Yeah, so it's a long season. I'm not...
didn't really pay off.
Like I said, I actually have somewhat a matter of confidence in some of the boys that are left over, but regardless, how'd the rookies end up on your bench? Because you're a bloke that when you're building your initial team, you obviously love to just throw in red dots or 200K guys to maximise on fields, but obviously... you want to have as many blokes playing in round one as possible. Yeah. So, was Harry Barnett your only non-playing dude?
Yeah. He was, yeah. There was enough of those, like, semi-cheap guys, you know. Obviously, got Roberts. Bought Campbell in against your advice. So, that's, I'm happy with how he went. And, yeah, everyone was honestly good, man. Like, there's the guys that didn't quite fire, but they were cheap anyway. So, I'm just like, oh, they looked fine, like. I really don't know what to do, mate.
Yeah.
How are your rookies looking, mate? I don't know. Maybe I should do a little rookie shuffle.
That's the one thing that I reckon I nail every year. You'd want to fucking hope so, considering it's your job. Peg my reputation on. Before I get into talking some trades and the rookies, etc., I do need to give a shout out to Sammy Bachman, because our mutual friend, Kizza, I was chatting to him over the weekend, and I've since heard from Sam Bachman. He scored 21.83.
Sammy B.
And he's ranked 154th.
21. Oh, my God. What a dream first round.
I was actually looking at his team. Looks pretty good, too. Like, he benefited from Jack Billings. I don't think that bloke will get 15 marks again, but he's got Bont. He's got Tom Green. He's got Errol Goulden. He has a lot of red dots on the bench he'll have to address. But, you know, if you want points on the field... Sammy Bachman went and got points on the field. So shout out to Biscuits Bachman.
Biscuits, that was a Biscuits move you just pulled there with all red dots on the bench. Let's see how it goes out for the season.
Yeah, good
luck.
Shout
out to you, Sammy B, if you do listen to this. I don't know.
I'm sure he will.
Sammy B.
I reckon before we talk trades as well, you know me, I fucking love, don't know why I'm dropping F-bombs so much, but I love a...
let it fly.
I love a useless Sportsby stat. So,
is it a Greg Williams stat?
No, I did just get stuck in a deep dive looking at Greg Williams' career resume, but no, nothing to do with Diesel.
Okay.
I've got a couple of numbers that I think mattered. So the first one I've got for you is 161 and 46. Do you reckon you can figure out what 161 and 46 represent?
Caleb Sarong?
Yeah. Round high, 161 points. Dockers record.
Oh, 46
touches.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And I watched the dude. He was... animal. I was actually shocked at what like Brayshaw and some of the other boys put up.
Yeah.
He
it's
obviously
a pretty free-flowing looking game.
He was probably
the
most visually impressive dude, I guess. But like,
yeah.
But yeah, so hard to not be when you have 46 touches. But yeah,
that's three votes.
Do you reckon that coaches could like grab him right now? Or do you think the better plan is, unless you've got for some reason a large abundance of cash, or you want to get rid of Goulden? You started with Taranto for some reason. Like, you've got a Jai Newcomb, for example. Do you reckon it's worth robbing a bank to try and grab Caleb Sarong?
Hey, look, the investor in me says I see the logic in it. Couldn't say I would... I'm not a buy high... Like, on the... I'm a buy on the way up guy.
Yeah.
But I'm not a buy on the...
At the peak.
He's pretty... He must be close to the mil.
He just ticked over the million as of...
That's a lot.
I think that must be adjusted a little bit, obviously because of his score. But yeah, he's expensive.
I'm looking for the dip buy, my friend.
Yeah,
so
I hear
that.
The next useless number I got for you is 130. The difference between Jack Billings' round zero score and his round one score. 130 points, had 15 marks.
What do you have in round one?
He was the sub,
zero.
So he only came on for a small chunk of a game.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's got to be right up there with like the greatest difference between two efforts. Non-injured. Sub obviously factors in. 84. That's the percentage of teams that have Harley Reid in their side right now.
Wow.
So that's got to be one of the higher ownerships. Like I remember last year when the season started, Dunkley was about 70.
Yeah.
Sheasel
as
well. I
don't reckon I've seen an 80.
Yeah.
Not in my
that's
time.
That's ridiculous. 68 is the next one. That's the points difference between going Brody Grundy and Tristan Cherry, who dominated against the Giants, had 120 points, 9 tackles as well.
Well done.
Do you back him in to get 100 points against Luke Jackson and Fremantle
at, I'm pretty sure they're playing at Marvel, but I doubt they'll get the MCG factor.
Bloke could get 50 hit outs.
Yeah, Jacko's not exactly the greatest ruckman.
He's who do I watch him against, man? Who
depends on how many stoppages.
Who did he play in the preseason game? Saints?
Yep.
He dominated Rowan Marshall. Like,
yeah, he was pretty visually good.
Like, sorry, not around the ground, but in the ruck contest, like, he could get 50 against Jackson. Do I back him in to get 100? Was that the question?
Yeah, 100 points.
I'm gonna say no.
Yeah, I agree. I reckon he'll get to like a high 80, and Jackson Maybe. Will probably do the same. But it's also, that's
what did Jackson end up on?
97 off the dome.
Yeah, take it.
Yeah, not bad. Needed 2 goals to get there, so I'm not super confident in him. But
he's a goal kicker.
A lot of people are saying about Maxi Gawn, there's the change in the ruck rule where players can kind of use their
good for Sherry.
Weight and their body a bit more. Definitely bodes well for dudes like Sherry, right? Like guys who are going to
rack
up 35-plus hit-outs every game. Riley O'Brien. Jared Witt's probably another one.
Yeah, probably.
There's a couple of those dudes who can use their big frames. And yeah, I definitely think that Cherry, Nank, the tank, Cherry will benefit from that rule.
That's a weird rule. I don't fully like understand why they triggered that.
Yeah, I don't know either, to be honest. I'd have to dive into
just
the cobwebs.
Doesn't it just stop jumping ruckman? Not to get too far off.
Maybe. I think it's to try and reduce some of the injuries, because if they start closer together, then they're not getting a running start. That could be it, but no idea.
Nick Nat would be spewing.
39 is the number of players currently averaging 100. So there's plenty to pick from.
Mm-hmm.
Which, other than the mids, because that's where most of them are, who do you reckon has more, defenders, rucks, or forwards?
Average.
Averaging 100 at the moment. Granted, extremely small sample size.
I'll probably take rucks.
The defenders have 7 at the moment, but one of them is, I think, Stephen May. Solid spread through the rucks. There's 6 blokes averaging 100 at the moment.
Nice.
And only 4 forwards. And one of them's obviously Isaac Heaney, who's probably daylight between second at the moment.
Yep.
But Sammy Flanders is another one who looked pretty good on the weekend. I think in hindsight, like, I was a little bit worried about this round 3 bye that he's got next week.
Sure.
But
yeah, that's
fair. I kind of wish that I grabbed one of those, not premier forwards, because like I said,
You were never going Heaney. Let's be honest.
I can't trust that bloke, hey? So he'll probably stay out of my team until it's too late. Like, I'll just not have him all year, I don't reckon.
Oh, he'll come back now.
I reckon he will, for sure.
I feel like he starts quite hot usually, doesn't he?
Yeah, there was a couple of years ago when I had him in a keeper league. I think it was the year Buddy kicked his 1,000th.
Okay.
And there was about 3 of the 4 games he scored 100 plus. So, yeah it does happen. 29 is the next useless number. That's the combined score that Zach Reed and Josh Gipkus got, which might have been some players that were targeted on the bench. Obviously, there's not a lot of defensive rookies rolling around that we love. Blake Howes and Marty Hoare are probably the best of the bunch, the Demons duo. But Zach Reed, hamstring issues, out 4 to 6 weeks. Josh Gipkus, ACL tear. Do you have either of those blokes in your back line?
Nah, mate. No injuries so far, unless something changes at selection. I feel like I'm good. Sorry if you haven't. That's all I'd say to you.
I think you can. Josh Gipkus, obviously, you need to trade out eventually. ACL. There's not many people that would have him. But Reedy out for 4 to 6 weeks. And like I said, there's not a lot of good defensive options up for grabs. So you could maybe hold on to him, especially considering this week and next week we've only got best 18.
Oh, okay.
So with the Carlton Brisbane bye, that does mean that we have the luxury of being able to potentially carry an injured dude or another shit player, I think. Anyway, it's a tactic that not a lot of people are discussing, but I think there's definitely some merit, unless you can get to maybe Marty Hoare and you have no other pressing trade issues. But do you kind of think that it's okay, like, another bloke, I'm going to tease my trades a little bit, hold on to Connor Butterick this round, but do you think it's all right to hold on to someone like Zach Reed at the moment, who is injured, probably guaranteed to miss a month of footy in the back line, where there's not really any other cheap blokes that you could target?
Frosty, I'm talking, sitting across from a man who is one of the premier, I'm just going to hold this bloke because he's not going to lose money kind of guys. Look, if you can get him out, if you're sort of like me and you had them, if you had them and like there's no other pressing things, I'd probably try and just think about cash generation.
Yeah. I guess it depends on who you can get to. That's part of where,
because we're only missing
from
2 teams this week, right? Like,
and 2 next week.
It's not hard to do a little shuffle and find players who are playing, you know?
Yeah.
I would be thinking cash generation, but otherwise, you know, they're not losing any money.
That's true. Yeah. Well, speaking of cash generation, the last useless stat I got for you, number five, there's five blokes at the moment who have a negative break even. Most of them are pretty popular players. One is obviously Sethi Campbell, who you took the punt on and I didn't,
yep.
But you've got Colby McKercher, Ollie Dempsey, good old Matty Roberts, and then Blake Howes at the moment in defence, who I did not see his positive cash gen coming, but can't complain too much.
I legit think I put him. I did.
Yeah.
He's in there.
He's about 50% owned, so it doesn't surprise me. All right, couple of trade targets potentially.
Up Bing Bong House.
For this week. Who?
Oh, Bing Bong House.
Oh, how's Bing Bong? Is that his new nickname?
I don't know. Let's see if it runs, mate.
A couple of blokes that people are looking for trade-wise, popular targets at the moment. A lot of people are doing the Brody Grundy to Tristan Cherry move.
Don't hate it.
Some others are bringing in Massimo D'Ambrosio, who, as it stands right now, I'm pretty sure is the most traded in player.
What did he end up on?
Scored a 94 off the dome. Yeah, 94. There's over 10,000 coaches trading for him at the moment. And he looked pretty good, but I'm like, he played Essendon. Hawthorn's draw is not great. They have the D's, Cats, and Collingwood in their next three. So I'm like, I can see him. He's break-evens, bloody 20-something. So there's merit in grabbing him, but I'm not sold on him being like a super moneymaker. At least... I'm not, honestly.
Look, I'm a little hesitant to comment because I just didn't really like notice him.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if that's a negative or a positive, but what's he worth?
At the moment, he's only priced at 498, so he's under 500K.
Yeah.
Like, I could technically go Connor Butterick to him and make money.
Well, I don't hate it. Looks like he was on a wing. I'm just looking at his heat map. Got plenty of the footy all over the ground. Like, man.
Yeah, what do you have? 28 touches.
29.
Yeah, pretty solid. I think he led the game, to be honest.
From a bloke who didn't pay that much attention to that game from like a watching the footy sort of standpoint.
Yeah.
I can't comment, but I don't hate it. It's going to make him money and I don't know.
Did you...
role change for a different, you know?
Did you squeeze... Or new club, I think he's benefiting from getting a fresh start.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you... roll with watching any of the Saints Geelong game or nah?
No, I totally missed that one.
So you were just one of the lucky coaches that refreshed the app and saw Riley Bonner just tick into 30 with pretty easy consistency and then go on to 50, then 70, and then get into 102 in the end?
Hey, let me tell you, and this is pretty rogue on a fantasy podcast, I didn't even check my phone.
Oh, that is rogue.
I just opened up and that. I think I woke up the next day and that was there. I was like, oh, great. So... Yeah, sorry, I can't give much on those two games. The late games, did not watch them.
Well, Riley Bonner, anyway, scored 102. He's the third most traded in bloke this week.
Good choice.
I think there's, a lot of value. He's going to get defender status in a couple of weeks, so you can definitely roll the dice on him. Then there's some other, the top scorers. We've got Heaney, Beelings, Sarong. Matty Crouch is in there as well. A couple of rookies in Jezza Sharp and Ollie Dempsey. Our mate Bing Bong Howes.
He's
cracking the top 10 as well. Are any of those blokes on your shopping list this week with your trades?
I haven't really looked at it. I would say if it sort of fits, mate, I don't know who I'm moving. It's going to be a last second play, honestly, for me at this point.
Well, who was your worst player last week then?
Like literally lowest scoring?
Or, who do you think is the biggest issue you got to flick from your team?
Like Cam McKenzie, maybe. I could address Grundy.
You'd make money trading him to Cherry.
Oh, no, I don't like that. I think I would want to be going to someone I can really trust.
So could you maybe go Cam McKenzie to... Oh, you wouldn't make much going him to Ollie Dempsey from Geelong. You'd make about 100 grand. That's not enough to get you up to...
Nah.
You could get Grundy to Gorn, maybe?
Nah, I'm okay with Grundy. I think he'll come good.
Yeah, I think agree. I'll back good. Him in. He is the most traded out player at the moment. Over 10,000 coaches have ditched him.
Wow.
And I get it. I mean, he hasn't excelled, didn't excel, obviously, last week, but he's given away 11 free kicks in his first two
That's
games.
Huge. That's
Kieran
huge.
Briggs also struggled to score against Darcy Cameron. I don't know what it is, but
he's
I'm
playing well.
He is playing pretty well.
And Kim and Cox are, it's like they're big,
they're the good, premiers. Like,
big, solid ruck duo.
Yeah, I think Grundy gets another chance. Six tackles in both his games as well, which is not nothing. So
I'm okay with the Grund.
I think that he can be trusted. But like I said, some of the coaches, some of the coaches don't agree. Ollie Wines, second most traded out. Was never really on my radar.
He, I think he sat on my team early.
Yeah.
And then sort of just rearranged, you know. Just didn't fit the mold. I didn't like those 700K middies.
Yeah. There was a couple that I considered. Nick Martin's obviously the one that ended up in my team. Crouchy, I don't think, sat in my side for a while, but I flirted with Maxi Holmes. He might have actually been under seven, but yeah, there are a couple of that like value-ish call of midfielders that I considered. But yeah, instead, I picked fucking Jai Newcombe.
Hey, look, that'll come good.
He is the fourth most traded out player at the moment. Gipkiss and Zach Reid bring up some of the other top 10.
People are impatient, eh? They want to get
I mean, it's different if Jai Newcombe's Andy Brayshaw or Jordan Dawson and he's averaged like 110 before. His career high average was 93 last year.
Part of me thinks if he's some one of those guys, if you're picking him, you can't just give him 1 week.
I agree. Totally, you know? That
That's what I think I mean by that. Yeah.
And there's, but I get it. You can go to, like we just mentioned half of them. Matt Crouch, Nick Martin.
I like Max Nick Martin. Holmes. I like Nick Martin.
You can even like bring another rookie onto your field and potentially use Jai Newcombe's money elsewhere to upgrade your defense or grab Heaney or Flanders. So I don't I don't desperately think that you need to get rid of Newcombe. Yep. Big test this week against the D's though.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. Similar with Zach Fisher. He's in the top 10 for trade outs after he only scored 60 odd against the Giants. Got Frio this week. Could you maybe do a bit of a trade where you upgrade Fisher, or do you not have enough cash to get him to like Flanders or Heaney or something?
There's another one. He wasn't expensive enough for me to be like, oh, okay, I'll get rid of him, like, because I need to. I can give him a week.
Yeah.
So I think I'm holding him.
You and I are probably a bit more patient than, you know, a lot of these trade out percentage numbers, et cetera, are all dictated by people. Well, not all, but there's a lot of people playing now that will have given up by like round 8 after the buys and during the buys, you know?
Yeah.
It's something to remember.
Yeah.
We obviously have a much more like a season long approach to the whole thing. But I agree with you. I think dudes like Newcombe, Grundy, Fisher, even to a certain extent Wines, but maybe it's just me being a bit reserved. I think you can potentially hold on to these blokes. It does depend wholeheartedly on what you can get them to though.
Yeah. Right? Let's be honest, these are all way too early reactions.
Yeah, well, it happens every year.
It's what we do. But I think you can hold.
All right, so out of those top blokes that I mentioned, we've got Cherry, D'Ambrosio, Bonner, Dempsey, Sharpie. They're all being brought in, and Grundy, Wines, Newcombe, the injured defenders, are the ones that are being flicked out.
Yep.
I think at the moment, of those popular dudes, the one that I have, like, I like trading in the most, I like the idea of, is grabbing Riley Bonner.
Yep, I agree.
I think Jack Sinclair came into the side, and Brady Crouch has been omitted. And there's word on the street that Jack Sinclair is going to play not full-time midfield, but he's going to be used much more in the mid.
Okay.
And I think Bonner probably, I don't have the stats in front of me, but probably led the Saints in kickouts. I think that he, you know, the ball was in his hand quite a lot. He didn't exactly use it great. Like, his disposal efficiency was probably bang on average for the game. Okay. But bloody break even of, let me double check, what is it? You might know more than me. You've got him. 24. So
Bonner, 8 kick-ins. That's significant.
Yeah, and of his bloody 28 stats, 24 of them were kicks. Didn't need a lot of marks and tackles to score. Had a shot on goal as well. So
like it.
He's probably who will come into my side this week. And one of the other rookies, I think, is what I'm looking to patch up. So at the moment, my trades for this week, I think I'm flicking out George Wardlaw and going to Bonner.
Don't hate that.
And that gives me the money to go Jai Clark off my bench up to Jeremy Sharp. I could maybe grab Dempsey in the forward line as well, but I think Sharpie, I think I said it to you yesterday, actually, the midfield rookies are probably going to have the easiest access to points.
I agree.
So having like two, I got him and Matt Roberts now on my bench.
Yep.
And then Colby and Riley on my field. That's a pretty awesome foursome to have clogging up those spots. So that leaves me with Connor Butterick still in my side.
Look, he's going to bounce back a bit, isn't he?
And let me talk you through my Butterick thinking
talk it through,
before
mate.
I get into your trades for the round. We might dive further through your team and find out who needs to fucking go.
Yeah.
When I picked the bloke, I always had in the back of my mind that if he sucks, I can turn him to Zach Williams in round 3. And I've considered the idea of trading him out this week, but obviously because Bonner only has mid status, I really think he is the play for cash generation.
100%.
Other than the rookies. So Wardlaw, I still think, will get a couple of 70s and 80s. He might even score 85 this week against Freo. Who knows? But what concerned me was he played less time on ground in the second half. And, like, you know, against the Giants, the game was kind of out of hand. But he's always kind of played lower time on ground. And I think he's a great keeper pick and maybe could be a bit of a draft last midfield spot
for sure
guy. But I think from a classic standpoint, he probably doesn't have as much cash generation as I thought. So, yeah, for that reason, I think I'll give... Butterick will probably just sit on the bench, honestly. I'll field Marty Hoare and Nick Caulfield, or maybe shuffle those around.
Yep.
But being best of 18, you know, I might struggle to get 1750 this week or 1700, but next week I can just turn Butterick straight to Williams, and it means that I've obviously trended upwards having Bonner and Jeremy Sharp in my side.
Mate, let me tell you, I just love it. Love it. Yeah, you got to have... I think just the way he's looked all preseason, you just got to have Bonner in.
Yeah, I think so, eh?
Yeah, I think it's a really good call, mate.
And right. I didn't roll in with a lot of cash.
Saying that as someone who has Bonner.
yeah, didn't roll into round one with a lot of cash. I think I had about 30, 40K. So yep. Doing this move leaves me with 14 grand, but I'm like I said, I get the benefit of getting two midfielders in who are definitely trending in the right direction. And there'll be a lot of other defenders that I can shift back in a couple of weeks' time. So if I have to have my fifth or sixth defender being a bit shit, Nick Martin, Riley Bonner, Alex Sexton, one of those blokes can plug those gaps in a month's time. You know what I mean?
I love that, my friend, mate.
So before we probably wrap this thing up, are there any other trade issues that you've found through your Quisplorken lineup? Or do you think that it'll just be a bit of a rookie shuffling?
Look, I think it will be a rookie shuffle, but I do have Wardlaw. And I don't hate the call. I brought him in this season because in the games he played last year, he was a bit of a mark and tackle guy.
Yeah, a lot of tackles, though.
But he also got quite a surprising amount of marks. So I think I'll keep him and go rookie shuff. But there's a chance I get rid of him. And I've also got Ruben Jimby. That was part of my, Sardis last-minute shuffle. Yeah. So I might rip him down to someone with a low breaky and grab someone I don't hate.
So how many rookies have you got on the field? You got McKercher and Sanders?
Yep.
Outside of them, your bench picks are probably Roberts and, I don't know, Jai Clark?
Yep, that's right. Well done. Yeah.
Yeah. I think most coaches would have had the similar lineup. So if that's the case, could you go, a Jinba down to... Sharpie.
Yeah, I think that's where Wardlaw I'm going. Up. Yeah, that's a like definite that. Possibility. Sharp looked great.
Yeah, it did.
He looks really like he fits in. So
he was another one that, at the end of the game, because I didn't really check the fantasy scores throughout, but got to the end of the game, I was like, oh, okay. Old mate bloody managed his way to 78. I was like, I did not. Yeah. Or 79 or whatever it was. I was like, I did not see that throughout the game, to be honest.
Yeah, so that's they're the two ways I might go. But
so if you... Have you got the app open up?
If you
flick Jinby and Wardlaw out and grab Sharp with one of them, how much does that leave you to play with?
Let me just have a little look, my friend.
Because I kind of agree with you. I mean, obviously, I just made my pitch for getting rid of Wardlaw, but midfield's where you want to have good scorers, right?
Yep. And I think, like I sort of said, that's kind of why I went a bit middly cheaper in the mids.
They didn't go down. It's a similar reason why I got Butterick, right?
That's right. Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
That's
767.
So that's...
it's not nothing.
Yeah, I'll have to have a real good little squishy squish. But, yeah.
I think Nick Martin's now a bit more than that.
He is the
close.
Bugger.
You could maybe... Can you get Matt Crouch?
I can. But I don't trust that fella.
Mm. Yeah, I don't hate that idea. You could always sling Yowie into the mids and grab Christian Salem.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with it. We'll have some fun with it.
Like I said, like you said, you do love to be a bit random with your trades, especially early on. You nearly missed full lockout. Oh, it was full lockout, you know what I mean? First lockout on Thursday.
Yeah, I did. I'm a bloody loser.
Not going that far. Fingers crossed both of us nail our trades this week. Any early captain plans or you nutter?
I'm pretty sure I had the... let me get my team up. Dacos.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go Vice Dacos as well. Tomorrow night.
think Timmy English will get 20 touches against big old Witsy in the Gold Coast.
The points for low in Ballarat as well. I saw something earlier, because that's where the Suns and Doggies clashed this week. Saw something earlier about how fruitful a lot of fantasy players could be down there. So I don't hate that call. I think...
Dead set reckon Connor Rosey could be a captain shout this week.
Yeah, I thought that last week too, against West Coast.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do the same with the Nick Dacos vice captaincy, and then I might even put it on Gorney against the Hawks. Doesn't have a great record against them in the past, but
bold.
He looks like he's rolling. Yep. I don't think I've got enough balls to do it, but I'm tempted to put it on Brody Grundy.
Whoa.
I think that he is going to go back to 100 plus. They're playing the Dons.
That is bold.
He's got Goldie, maybe even, what's his name, Sammy Draper returning. But yeah,
okay.
I reckon right. Grundy gets 100 plus this week.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, there's my bold take to leave all the fantasy community with. Like I said, short fire fantasy check-in with J-Lo. I'm sure as footy season unfolds, we'll talk more about the actual games. But, you know, Freo were good. They got injured.
They were great.
West Coast were shit, so...
Terrible.
We don't really need to dive into too much of that early on. Any quick nuggies, takeaways before we wrap up?
We're great.
The boys are trending upwards.
We're at the top, mate.
They probably have.
Not even trending upwards.
No, I think they've got the best record post-All-Star break and are now, like, back in the one seed. They were the three for a while, right?
Yep. Quick take, we're great.
Yeah. Cavs, we're good at times.
But...
I'm sure we'll sit down in the future and discuss plenty of other basketball stuff as the playoffs near. And I reckon we rebirth the Mount Rushmores as well. I've got a couple of extra ideas.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for the rushies, mate.
Yeah, we'll bring them back.
Let's rush, mate.
As always, J-Lo, appreciate you sitting down, mate. Until next time, chip your wings.
You're welcome.